T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All right, we're back. It is Marks and Reese. Happy Tuesday to everybody. As the Phils get back at it tonight against the Mets, Ike Reese, a split. We signed the contract. We'd be happy with the split in Atlanta.
I'm happy.
Yeah, they fulfilled their contractual obligation. And, so they got 2-2 off day yesterday. Today, up in New York against the Mets for 3. And they're going to have to start the series without Bryce Harper. He is not in the lineup tonight.
What?
According to Todd Zielecki on Twitter, says there's nothing wrong with Bryce, FYI, just getting a day off after playing every game since his return on May 2nd. This gives him consecutive days with no game yesterday. That from Todd Zielecki. Well, you could have given him off on Sunday night, being up 2-1 in the series, and then giving him 2 consecutive days off that way and be ready to go starting against the Mets, in which I would consider this a really important series and start in June.
I mean, Sunday night was an ESPN game.
That's a good point. No, you're right. It's a good point. All I'm saying is that maybe this just is a scheduled day off, and I'm not saying that he can't have the scheduled day off. I'm perfectly fine with that. I just wonder.
I'm with you. And it's a team that you're playing a divisional opponent that you're trying to chase down. You know it's a game that you need. You don't have some sort of leeway to give away games. And I understand you want to give Bryce a couple days off here. I get that. But Bryce Harper just bats. He doesn't play out in the field. He comes to the plate 4 times a night, and he's not on base every at-bat. You know what I'm saying? So the need –
there's far less stress on his body.
Yeah, the need to have consecutive days off has my antennas raised too. I'm not just letting this fly over my head like it's nothing.
Yeah, it's, everything's fine, nothing to see here. And it's like, oh, well, okay, maybe.
Yeah, I hope that's the case.
Or maybe, or what's more likely is, just like a lot of athletes, you start dealing with a nagging injury or two, and it gets a little bit worse or whatever. They've decided that, because, like, don't tell me that if Bryce Harper is just getting a regular day off at the start of a series against the Mets in New York.
Nah.
No, no way.
Nope. Certainly not by his choice.
No, definitely not by his choice.
So, no, I agree. And again, he just had the day off yesterday.
Right.
So.
Yeah, if he just needed a day off, he just got one.
Yeah, so, of course, your antennas are going to be raised.
Jack Fritz, you think this is all about nothing?
No. If it is about nothing, then it's a terrible idea. Like,
you're right,
dude. Like, you're 3 games under .500. Like, you're not in position where you're locked in a playoff spot.
Yeah.
All he's doing is hitting.
Yep.
There's no way that if he takes 2 days off, oh, now he's gonna go on like a 10-game tear. You're telling me Bryce Harper wants to be out of the lineup tonight? There's
no way
he wants to be out of the lineup.
No way.
So that raises my antennas. They've been weird about injuries this year, regardless. But if it's just giving him a rest day. Like, are you guys serious?
I agree. It's actually a bad idea. Like, yeah. I don't understand the strategy here. If you are really just giving him a rest.
All right, I'm just talking this through. They play consecutively till next Thursday. So they just had a day off yesterday. Their next day off is going to come next Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So does that possibly play into it to where they want to make sure that he's not running all the way through?
He only bats. I keep going back to that. If he played out in right field every day, that's different.
Right.
I can understand it. He bats 4 times a game.
Right, but you also understand it that if there was something wrong with him is why you give him an extra day off.
Oh, sure,
which
yeah.
is what's most likely going
yes.
on here.
Yes, yes, yeah. yes, that's what I'm saying. The whole rest thing, like,
I hope it's
why
not
doesn't
the
he
elbow.
Rest? He started the season late, and he just bats.
So, Jack, if it was an injury that wasn't the elbow, wouldn't it be easy to say or get like just say that it's that that's what it was? The reason you would cover something up would be if it was the elbow. If there was inflammation or he was having
right,
pain.
Some type of soreness or
right,
something there,
right.
yeah.
The city would start freaking out.
Right, exactly.
That's what happened.
Yeah. Exactly. If he takes a day off and they say, oh, well, he pulled his hamstring a little bit, we're like, oh, man, he pulled a hamstring.
What annoys me about this is that JT's in the lineup. Like if JT can't play, he's playing like every day at this point. He's catching.
He's catching.
Like he played Sunday night. He doesn't get two off days.
Right.
Yeah. Like it's just something's fishy to me. And if it's not fishy, then it's dumb. So either way,
yeah.
I think we agree. There's something going on here. It's a matter of the extent and what it is. I just hope it's not the elbow.
Well, we'll find out.
Yeah, we probably will.
Well, you can't hide it.
No, but I mean, we'll find out if they say something or it gets worse or it doesn't mm-hmm. get better.
Well, we'll probably find out if he's not in the lineup tomorrow night.
Oh,
yeah,
sure.
Well, I'm saying
then
it could just be some soreness
right
there. And that's understandable. That's fine. But I'm just saying I don't think it's just a rest day. Or maybe they're resting him because it's sore.
Right. Yeah, no, this isn't a standard, no, we're going to rest him, give him another day off. No, there's something going on here for sure. All right. Also, Ike, the Wall of Fame for this year has been announced by the Phillies and when it's going to be. And it's going to be in September. Normally, they try to do this a lot earlier than this, if I remember correctly. But this is a September date that they're giving it away. So not only is Scott Rolen being honored, but what's his name? John Quinn, former GM back in the 50s and 60s. And then Rulli Carpenter, the former owner of the Phillies, will be inducted into the Wall of Fame. I know Jack was particularly excited about John Quinn.
Yeah, it's about time he's being honored by the organization.
Right.
The no playoff appearances they had during that 13-year span he was the GM. Seems like the right thing to do.
Well, he's getting in, and as is Scott Rolen. And Rolen put a statement out saying, I am humbled and honored to join so many great Phillies on the team's Wall of Fame. My years in Philadelphia, I wouldn't trade for anything.
Huh?
He used the word trade.
Yeah, literally, you did trade him. Like, what are you talking about?
At his request.
Yeah.
Or his demand, I guess
you'd say. His demand, yeah.
It taught me how to play the game, how to hustle and play hard. I'm grateful to Philadelphia and the Phillies for their important role they played in my career. Not only so forced, just like, what did he even say right there? Humbled and honored. He wouldn't trade his years in Philadelphia for anything. Taught me how to play hard and hustle.
Well, the whole, I wouldn't trade my years in Philadelphia anything. That's the whole line right there. That's the whole shocker right there. Like, what? That's literally what you did.
Literally.
Yes.
Literally.
Yes.
For Polanco and Bud Smith, and who else did they get in that trade, Jack? Whatever it was, it wasn't great.
So, yeah. But, yeah, hey, man, Scott Rolen, you know, Wall of Fame, everybody gets a shot.
Yeah, just water it down by putting a GM that no one cares about and didn't have any accomplishments with the Phillies. The owners.
Oh,
like,
I traded for Steve Carlton.
He traded for Steve Carlton before they fired him.
Yes.
Before they got rid of him.
They thought so much of him.
Yeah. 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 Awesome. And then Scott Rowan. I can tell you this, and
you'll be there booing. I know.
No. All right. So let's 215-592-9494.
Oh,
well,
man.
See, the reason why I don't think he gets booed much is because no one's going to actually go to the game to do that. It's in September, right? They never do these Wall of Fames in September because September 22nd, they're burying this game.
Oh.
They're literally burying this game.
Is that on Monday night?
No, I think it's a Friday night against the Mets.
No.
So it's a Friday night against the Mets, which is already going to have probably very good attendance. So normally they like to put this on the weekend so they can get a larger crowd because people like to come see it or whatever. But instead they're burying this in September. Maybe that's because of Scott's schedule. I don't know. All I'm saying is that I have zero interest in any of this. And Scott Rolen can stay off the Phillies Wall of Fame. Even though it's not a Hall of Fame, it's a Wall of Fame. Still, there's other Phillies that were proud to be Phillies and were glad to be here, not like Scott Rolen. Scott Rolen couldn't wait to get out of town.
So the Phillies Wall of Fame isn't essentially the team Hall of Fame?
Well, I mean, not if Quinn's getting in or this other stuff, right? Like, I think you every year they put people in. This year they're putting three people in. It's not a hall. It's not a Hall of Fame. It's a Wall of Fame.
Yeah. But is that not the Phillies Hall of Fame?
No,
I don't think. I think that's the retired numbers.
Oh, so now we're going to distinguish the retired numbers
class,
from the Wall of Fame guys.
Yeah, so, Wall of Fame guys are good Phillies.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if they. Why is this a big deal then?
For example, it's not. For example,
Lieberthal's on it.
For example, I mean, listen, and Juan Sam, I love Juan Samuel growing up.
Juan
Samuel's
a good guy, man. Good Juan
Samuel's on the Wall of Fame. Juan Samuel, like, was a, he was fine, but that, like, that's not like an all-time Philly.
Okay.
Right? So, for example, Eagles, the Eagles, like, Trey, Trot, like, that's a real Hall of Fame, the players that get into the Eagles Hall of Fame.
Okay.
The Phillies is kind of like, oh, well, we liked you, and, you know, you were a good player, and we need people to put in this year because we're out of play. Here you go. You're on the Phillies Wall of Fame. Some of them. Others are very deserving, but it feels like it's a different criteria to get in the Eagles Hall of Fame. Like, if you're in the Eagles Hall of Fame,
right,
you're a great player.
Right.
If you're in the Phillies Hall of Fame, I don't think you're a great player.
Okay.
You don't necessarily need to be.
Well,
a great
player. It doesn't seem like it. So that's what I was wondering. That's all. I always thought the Phillies Wall of Fame was their Hall of Fame, like the Phillies Hall of Fame.
I understand what you're saying. I mean, it is, but, you know, it's just not all that impressive. 215-592-9494. Are people going
to – Yeah, Jack telling me you need to have your number retired.
That's more of a
– Well, everybody in the Eagles Hall of Fame doesn't have their number retired.
I know. It's just – there's not a good middle ground between the Wall of Fame, whatever that is, the Hall of Fame, and having your number retired.
Example. Cole Hamels deserves to be in the Phillies Hall of Fame.
Yes, he's above Wall of
but
Fame.
But he shouldn't get his number retired.
Correct. So how does he get above the Wall of Fame, guys?
It's just eye test.
MVP. The World Series MVP is one of the best players they ever drafted a pitcher.
I agree, but I'm just – if I'm Cole Hamels, I'm like, hold on, what the hell? You put me in the same class. What was the GM's name?
John Quinn. No, we agree. You're watering it down.
There needs to be another tier below retired numbers and above Wall of Fame.
There should be.
Where we can get, like, Hamels out of the Lieberthal category.
Right.
That's what I was wondering.
Aaron Nola likely should be a Hall of Famer Philly, not a Wall of Fame Philly.
Yeah?
Maybe. If he leaves after this year. He went to a World Series,
I'm
Jack.
With you,
oh,
yes.
I got you. He's
not like Hamels. But you understand what I'm saying? Like Bobby,
yes.
Bobby Abreu is a
Wall of Fame.
He's a
He's a Wall of Fame.
He's not a Hall of Fame.
No. Stop.
No, he didn't win.
What?
Jack, he was really good
yes.
for a while.
Really good. Wall of Fame. Enjoy it.
But you don't need to be really good for a Wall of Famer.
Yeah, that's what I'm confused, man.
See why you're confused.
So Ike, the Phillies, I believe, acknowledge, and I would have to pull up exactly, that it's not just on the field stuff. Also, like, because it can disqualify people from being on based on some of the off the field stuff.
Oh, yeah, we know.
We know with Pete Rose
yes.
and Lenny will never get in, right? But, like, guys that deserve to be on, like, boom, no chance.
Right.
But also, and nobody loved Dutch more than I did, but Dutch, what he meant to the Phillies organization, not only the player he became, but what he meant to the Phillies organization, he was drafted. He's an easy Wall of Famer, but if you just took his numbers from another player, it doesn't mean that he's making the Wall of Fame. Wow. You know what I mean? Like, Dutch didn't have a great start to his career, but he certainly ended on the right track, but he meant so much to the organization.
Like, what would you do? Like, if we're talking about Wall of Fame versus Hall of Fame, what do you do with Jason Wirth? Is Jason Wirth a Wall of Famer or a Hall of Famer?
He would be a Wall of Famer.
Yeah, he wasn't here long.
No, but man, he's like the third best player, fourth best player in that.
But
team.
The Hall of Fame, there has to be. He's not in the same category with J. Roll.
Like, he's above Burrow for me.
Is he?
For me,
I'd say they're on the same level.
Like,
around
wasn't
the same level.
He's number one pick for this.
Yeah,
season.
He's also
no, Jack. Until I think they're the same level.
All right,
he was a bust.
No, he wasn't a bust.
He didn't.
Like,
he didn't
30
live up
and 90.
I can't take the whole, like, oh, he's a legend. Oh, Burl.
Why? Because he would drink in Old City
go around
and stuff.
Town. Oh, what a legend.
I don't care about that.
Oh, everybody else we love that way.
He's a good player, though. No, but you're sleeping on Pat. He was a good player.
I know. Well, Rhys Hoskins, is he a Wall of Famer?
Now, he's more of a Wall of Famer
than a Hall of Famer.
Yes. But I think Cole Hamels is the perfect example And I think Bobby Abreu as well. But I think Cole Hamels is the perfect example. Like, you have to actually want to
be there. There's a lot of gray area with these Phillies, man.
Of course. But you have to actually want to be there. And Scott Rowland not only officially didn't want to be here, he officially didn't want to be here. And he acted that way, I'm not going to say his entire time here.
Well,
but
certainly the last couple years
he didn't want to be here.
Yep.
He was miserable. So, like,
he said he went to baseball heaven.
Dude, he...
Yes, for that comment alone right there, disqualifying from being in the Wall of Fame.
He can't even fake a statement being happy about it. Humbled and honored.
What if he didn't show up?
That's what I was just thinking. Is it a guarantee that he's coming?
Where's that line at where he said that?
My years in Philadelphia, I wouldn't trade for anything.
Come on, man.
Except I did.
Except when I said trade.
Except when I asked for a trade.
Yeah. Oh, and what and in Philadelphia, you know what he learned? How to hustle and play hard, because that's what we want.
Hustle.
He did hustle. Scott Rowland was a good player. I was a Scott Rowland fan. You don't get on the Wall of Fame when you ask out, and you're a jerk about it.
Yep.
All right. So who's booing Scott Rowland? 215-592-9494.
Sounds like you.
No, I don't even want to acknowledge it.
Know,
I won't talk
I
about it.
Well, we just did.
Yeah, for 10 minutes. I mean, Angelo probably goes and boos, right? Like, he comes out of
retirement. Oh, he definitely comes back and boos for sure.
Yeah, in an important series against the Mets, you're going to start that bad juju with Scott Rowland coming out.
Is the general throwing out the first pitch, too?
I don't remember when he was scheduled to do that. Yeah. Awesome. All right, Jay in Roxborough has something on the Sixers. Jay, how are you, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, man?
What up, Corey?
What's up, Jay?
Yeah. You know, this Nick Nurse hiring, you know, I don't think it's going to make a difference because, first of all, we're not going to be able to judge him until the second round of the playoffs, you know, next year. So but we've already been there and we've done that. So the only thing that he can do better than Doc is get us to the third round, you know. But I don't see the big deal about him. You know, he's no better than anybody else because here's a question for you. What are you really coaching in 2023? When you coach play pro basketball, what are you coaching? What does your practices look like?
No, you're right. I mean, it's mostly managing the guys and getting them to play hard and when they need to.
Right. And if that's the case, Doc got you to a seventh game. So he's proven he can get you there, but the players have to do the rest. So my question is Nick Nurse going to be able to get Joel to start thinking through the game? Doing something that Doc wasn't able to do. Like, when I look at Joel, I look at it and say, okay, what's missing? What's missing is that when he calls for the ball, nobody else touches it after that. You know, and I keep bringing up the Jokic thing, but it's the only thing we got because they're only two real true centers. When Jokic calls for the ball, his mindset is, okay, let me see what's the best option. When Joel calls for the ball, he's saying, I am the option. So is Nick Nurse going to be able to come in and get Joel to do something different?
You know? Yeah, I mean, no, that's a fair question, Jay. I think in order for Joel to trust that he doesn't have to do everything, you're going to need guys around him to do more. You know, we bring up Jokic. Jokic, certainly his two prior years, he scored a lot more. He didn't have Jamal Murray out there with him. He didn't have other players out there with him, Michael Porter Jr. In other words, when he had to do more of the scoring, he had to do more of the scoring. This year, he didn't have to do as much of the scoring.
And his teams are better when he doesn't have to do all the scoring.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think getting Joel to buy into that, I think it starts with him trusting the guys that are around him. I maybe it's just me hoping for this, but I do believe there could be a little bit of a dial back sort of mentality from Embiid in the regular season this next year. And maybe that's something that Nick Nurse will be taxed with to get Joel to realize you don't need to play as many minutes during the regular season. We don't need you to put in all that work trying to win a scoring title and trying to win the MVP. We want you to be at your best April, May, and June. We want you to be at your strongest April, May, and June. And if you get Embiid to buy into that, I think that can be successful. Again, he's won the coveted MVP. He's won two scoring titles. He knows the only thing that matters is the championship. So, I mean, Nick Nurse did it with Kawhi doing load management that year. So maybe they could sell Joel Embiid on that.
So here's my question.
Is everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
Right? When you get a lesser offensive-minded Joel Embiid, are we going to start hearing he ain't leading your team in scoring, he ain't leading your team in this and that and the other?
Right.
Like, do you want him to be a scorer or do you want him to be a facilitator and score less and take some wear and tear off his body, right? Yeah. So that he's better when the playoffs come.
Right. I wonder if Nurse can coach him. Like game seven and just how that game started and kind of the lack of urgency. I'm not even going to say – I don't even know if it's lack of urgency, just like kind of a weird malaise that he was in, right? Like you wouldn't have known it was game seven of the Eastern Conference Finals based on how he came out. And can Nick Nurse be a guy that can coach the team into having a different mentality to where they come out on the court? Like last night with Miami, they came out and it helped that Jason Tatum got hurt on the first play of the game. But they came out, you could feel the urgency and the intensity of the Heat. So can...
Well, you felt that after they lost game six. All you had to do was listen to Spo's post-game press conference. Said they're going up to Boston to win Monday.
Yep.
We're not feeling sorry for ourselves. We got another opportunity. We're going up there to win Monday.
Yep. Yeah, so can Nurse be the guy that turns the team like that?
I mean, it seems like everybody is happy that he's here, so I'm assuming that's what he's bringing to the table.
Mm.
If you're thinking some X's and O's is what's going to get this done, that's not what's going to get this done.
No.
Right?
No, this isn't an X and O thing. This is a player talent thing. They need more better players.
I mean, and if Harden is here, he didn't show up in game six or seven.
Nope. Well, we'll ask Robert Horry about that.
Big shot Bob.
Yeah. Seven-time champion. What does he see from Joel Embiid? Would he re-sign Harden? His thoughts on Nick Nurse. Does he think that Embiid and Harden are good enough to be championship material?
Mm-hmm.
All that's coming up next with Robert Horry. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
Hey, this baseball season, get more thrills out of every at-bat on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Just go to FanDuel.com/Ike, sign up, place your first bet, and get up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win. Now, you can wager on everything from the money line to hits to which pitcher will lead the league in strikeouts. Plus, with FanDuel's fast payouts, you can get your winnings the same inning. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP, and I really like the FanDuel app. So swing for the fences with a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/Ike to sign up. FanDuel, official partner of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks. What the hell was that I'm reading there, Jack?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
You've got to instill that you're playing to win the game, right? I know that sounds really simple, but that is how we're judged. That's why they keep score. You know, all those simple little things. And right under that, though, I always say 1A is, can we increase each player's value in the marketplace? And we spend a lot of time trying to get them better, you know, and what's getting them better? Well, we got to develop them. We got to work with them. We got to do the shooting. We're not afraid to tinker with their shot right when they get here. We're not afraid to put in the time. We're not this and that, but we're also not afraid to, what we do is teach them that winning, you know, we got to coach winning.
That's Nick Nurse. Is that all JJ Redick's podcast, Jack? I don't know. It was somewhere. Well, that's Nick Nurse, who is the new coach of the 76ers. I would expect a news conference, press conference, sometime maybe tomorrow. I don't know.
Yeah.
So 76ers fans are excited, Ike. That's for sure. Let's get it. Let's see what Robert Horry thinks about this. 7-time NBA champion, and he joins us today courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for up-to-date NBA Finals series lines, game lines, Finals MVPs, and player props. Bet Online, and Robert Horry joins us right now. Robert, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Man, my pleasure. I'm blessed, man. How you guys doing?
Doing great, Big Shot Bob. Man, listen, I wanted to just talk to you about having a unique sort of spot in the history of the game of basketball, right? Not only are you a 7-time NBA champion, but a lot of those championship teams, you are directly a part of them winning it with some of the shots that you made in clutch moments and key moments. Where did the confidence and the willingness to take those shots, where did that come from for you as a player?
Man, for me, it started in high school and just believing in yourself, man, knowing all the hard work and the sacrifice that you put into the game to make yourself better. And then that kind of just exudes from you, and then it kind of catches on to your teammates, and they can see it in you. Because players, they can say what they want, but they watch other guys. They see if they put in the work. They see if they do what they need to do to make the team better and themselves. And I think for me, not only the coaches and the players I play with, they've seen the dedication, the hard work I put into the game. And, you know, people always look and say, oh, this guy wasn't the best player on the team. He didn't do this, he didn't that. But that ain't what that game is all about. It's about keeping the team together and doing what's needed to win. And I was very blessed to have confidence in myself and my teammates to be able to knock down shots when needed.
And we're talking about some of the game's greatest players that you played with: Hakeem Olajuwon, Clyde Drexler, Shaq, Kobe, Tim Duncan. Like, you played with some great players, man. And to a man, they all had that confidence when needed to go to you and that trust in you. And we have a couple guys here, right, and James Harden and Joel Embiid, that we see that potential that they could be those guys, but for whatever reason, they can't get over the hump. And just want to know from your perspective, when you watch a guy like Joel Embiid, what do you see that you like about his game? And then what is it that in areas that you think he's struggling with that he needs to overcome in order to get in that category with a Duncan and a Shaq?
You know, the two guys you mentioned, Duncan and Shaq, they have nothing on Embiid if Embiid did exactly what they guys did. That means get down to the block and go to work. To me, he is such a dominant post-up player, but he gets into this thing where he wants to be a little. He wants to shoot threes and do things of that nature, even though he can shoot threes. But, you know, why do that when nobody can stop you in the paint? Nobody can stop you when you face up and shoot your jumper. It's little things like that. It, to me, in watching that, you know, that last game where he shot all jumpers, I'm like, dude, that's – I call it playing in your world. Like, when you, if you're big and you have a guy that's smaller than you, why do you want to go on the outside of the perimeter and play in his world? Take him to your world on the block where he cannot block your shot, where he cannot stop you. And that's why I look at Joel Embiid and the whole Sixers lineup. I know this is the era of taking bad shots, but this team just took too many bad shots for me for them to be successful. They're a hell of a team. You got Maxey, probably the second best player on the team behind James Harden, behind Embiid. But I know, you know, sometimes I would go to Tyrese before I would go to James. And I just think that the team didn't get it together. They didn't. They lived by the outside shot. They just didn't do a lot of things that this team and the makeup that it has to make them successful.
Yeah, Robert, the thing with you, you're a winner. You want the big shots. You were great under pressure. You were great when it came time, when the light was shining its brightest. Joel Embiid so far in the playoffs hasn't gotten past the second round. Has really struggled in big games like Game 7, Game 6 this past year. Is this something that can be learned, or is this just something like with you? Did you always have that? Where you wanted the ball, you were making the shots, you were taking the big shots? Or is this something Joel Embiid can kind of grow into this a little bit more? Listen, he's 29. He's going to be turning 30, right? Like, he's still looking for kind of that signature moment of getting past the second round. Can he learn how to be a better player in big spots?
Well, yes. He can just change his mindset. You know, he can just say, I'm going to be the most dominant post-up player in the game. And it's so weird that he doesn't want to be that because he outweighs everybody. He's more talented than everybody. He just doesn't want to do that. You know, we have that same problem. I know I cover the Lakers. We have that problem with AD sometimes. They don't want to be big. They want to shoot threes, and they want to do the thing that's sexy instead of grind it out like a Tim Duncan, grind it out like a Shaq. You know, there's nothing wrong with averaging 30 points, and they all come from the paint. And I think guys nowadays, they just get caught up in this mood where I got to show my versatility. I got to shoot a jump shot. I can show you I can shoot a three. I can show you put it on the floor. You know, at the end of the day, it's about getting buckets and getting dubs at the end of the day. And if you can get your buckets and it doesn't matter if they're twos or threes and you win games, that's the most important. And I think a lot of times if you look at the makeup of this Sixers team, with Joel Embiid wanting to be on the perimeter, you're messing the game up for P.J. You're messing up Tobias, because if you get to the post, you got a guy like P.J. Tucker, he's going to be open because nobody cares about him because he's not a guy who's going to shoot in order for you to make an impact on the game. But when you kick it to him and there's nobody around him, that good three becomes a great three because it's not going to be contested. And so I think those are little things like that that they can tweak that can make them a successful team.
Huh. Robert Horry is here with us today, courtesy of Bet Online. James Harden's a free agent. Robert, the Sixers, they may not have to give him the max contract. He's certainly trying to get it. If you were Daryl Morey in 76ers, would you bring him back? Or is it that you mentioned Maxey? It seems like you're pretty high on Maxey. Are they better off going forward without Harden on a long-term contract?
You know, I love James, but thinking in the GM, if I'm Elton Brand right now, I'm saving that money and putting it into something else, because I think Tyrese Maxey has the ability to be that guy that James is, more athletic, can get to the hole, and has, you know, youth on the side. And then I think it will open up guys like Tobias Harris. Let's be honest. He every year, to me, he underperforms. He has all this talent, but he can't use his talent because you got Maxey taking shots. You got Harden taking shots. You got Embiid taking shots. And he's an afterthought. So for me, I would do that just so Tyrese and Tobias can to maximize their ability. You know, and I would hate to lose James, but you got to do what's best for the team. And that's the route I would go and use that money to bring in someone else, you know, a veteran point guard in case Tyrese Maxey go down. And also, you know, I can understand why they didn't ever use Montrezl Harrell. You know, this guy's a beast in the paint, and they never use him. So, but, you know, I'm not a coach. That just me watching the game, being a fan of Montrezl and what goes on. But, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see what Nick Nurse does with his team and what the GM does with his team.
You mentioned Nick Nurse, Robert, and he's a new coach here. What do you think of him and what he can sort of bring to this Sixer team?
You know, when you win a championship, guys have a tendency to listen up, you know, and people – and plus, think about it. He got that championship because of the Sixers and because, you know, Kawhi was able to knock down that jump in the corner and to move on to the next round. And so it's going to be really interesting to see if these guys are going to buy into his philosophy. You know, you got to think about it. Coming from Toronto – it's a totally different team. You know, a lot of coaches don't know how to coach bigs because they come up in this area where they think the three-point shot is the most important thing. You want to play on the perimeter. You want to set pick and rolls. But I'm really interested to see if he uses Joel Embiid to make him more successful and make him more dominant of a player, because to me, if I'm coaching that team, you know, I'm putting this big ass in the block, excuse my language, and I'm saying, yo, you got to go to work. You're not shooting a three unless you're a trail big and there's no one around you. And you got to harp that and nail it into their heads, because you're too good and too great in the post to not get down there enough to score points for me.
Robert Horry, so many big shots, so many big moments in your career, at least from a Philadelphia perspective. Game three, 2001 finals, and you hear him chuckle there. Like, you hit. Not only did you hit the three that put the Lakers up by four, you scored the final 7 points of the game, and that was it. Sixers win game one. You guys come back in game two, but man, Sixers, that was a good 76er team. We know you guys were great. What are your moment? What are your memories of the final couple moments of that game there?
Well, you know, the thing that stands out in that series, Vols, is that we didn't sweep the Sixers like we should have. You know, we've been the only team ever to go out and sweep everybody. But the Sixers had all the pieces. And when you talk about a team fitting together, you think about that AI team. You had AI who could take all the shots. You had Dikembe to block all the shots. You got Hill to get all the rebounds. And it was a perfect team set around Allen Iverson. Everybody knew their role. Everybody knew they was great at it, and they excelled in it. But it just, you know, you ran into a guard that was a little bit better than AI and Kobe. You ran into a big that was a little better than Dikembe. And that's how it is sometimes. That's what it happens when you get to the finals. You might dominate your conference, but when you get to the finals, you're going to find some guys that are playing at another level. And they just happened to run into the team, me and the Lakers, and we was on a roll like no other roll. Then we swept everybody on our way to the finals. And then, you know, we had that long layoff. And we came out in game one rusty, and the Sixers jumped on us. You know, not taking away anything from AI, because he had 41 or something that game.
48.
And that's atypical AI, but we figured that problem out, and then we went on to win that series. But, you know, B-Shaw, myself, and, you know, Fish knocking down jumpers and making it, you know, on our way to a three-peat.
Yeah. What do you think about the finals matchup? Miami knocking off Boston last night in Game 7. Denver has been waiting for over a week to see who they were going to play. They seemingly got the best player in the postseason going right now in Nikola Jokic. How do you like this matchup between these two teams?
It's going to be an interesting matchup because Denver is a big team. You know, they got 6'10 across the front court. And you look at this Miami Heat team, they're a small team. You got Bam and Kevin Love, and Kevin Love didn't even see the floor last night. And then they went small. So and you can't go small against Jokic because he will take advantage of every opportunity. You know, just like Joel Embiid, you know, which Joel Embiid should do, Jokic says, oh, I got a small lead, I'm going straight to the post. I'm not playing in your world with face shield. I'm going to punish you in the post. Oh, I got a big on me, you're not that mobile. I'm going to put you in a pick and roll, not setting pick and rolls. I'm actually going to let Murray set me a screen as I come off that. They're a very well-coached team. They play very well together. They're young, and they've been learning. They've been learning along the way without Jamal Murray. And then when he came back from the ACL tear, and he's healthy now, he's added that shot, that ability to score. And we've seen why we was calling him Bubba Murray. And so this team is good. They're well-coached. They're disciplined. And, you know, and the one thing I want to point out that's really good about Denver, you see now all these guys take logo threes. They're 5 and 6 steps behind the three-point line. You watch Denver. When they shoot a three, they're up on the line. You know, and that's one of the things. I know it sounds very minute, very why as you shoot a three, but if you're 5 feet behind the three, that becomes a good shot for most players. Most shot are off the shot. But if you're on the line, it becomes a great shot. And in the playoffs, you have to take great shots, not good shots. And the Denver Nuggets, when they shoot the ball, they're all great shots. I think watching them and playing the Suns and the Lakers, they didn't take any bad shots. Every shot they took was a great shot, and that's the only way you can win in the finals.
Robert, thank you. Great stuff, man.
Man, awesome.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Rob.
All right, thank you, guys. Good luck.
All right, Robert Horry, courtesy of Bet Online. Who sounds like many of our callers that once Joel Embiid stuck out in the paint.
In the post. Yeah.
So – like, and he's obviously old school. Robert Orr is obviously old school, so I can totally understand his perspective. And it's not like I don't even necessarily disagree with it. You have to be realistic and know that.
Yeah, it's not happening.
It's not happening.
No, you may get it from time to time, but you're not getting a steady diet of Embiid in the post.
No, or any other player.
Yeah, or anybody for that matter.
Yeah, there's like Shaq never shot threes because
he had to play in the post. That's just the only place he could score. He couldn't score anywhere else.
So if Tim Duncan had the same timeline as Joel Embiid, would he have shot threes? Would he be shooting threes?
Probably not. Maybe a couple.
I mean,
here and there.
Maybe not as many, but yeah. he'd be taking threes.
Yeah. I mean, Tim Duncan came up in the low post era. He was probably the last of the big men, I think, right?
Of that style game, sure. Because
yeah.
who would have came after him that had a strictly
right.
low post?
Maybe Yao Ming.
On the block. You know, Eurojohn loved Tim Duncan because of the hook shot. Which
oh,
is
he's
a
DMing me. Yeah, he's DMing me about, like, oh, see? Relax, buddy. Deep breaths.
The hook shot.
Yeah, right. He's gonna stick on that thing for the rest of the season. Don't right. let the Nuggets win.
Oh, they're going to win.
Yeah. I'm taking them in five.
Yeah, they're going to win.
Miami was I don't have it written down, but if you would have taken them before game seven to win the finals, it was like plus 1,500, I think.
Oh, sure. They're probably the least talented team left in the playoffs.
It's unbelievable.
Of everybody. But, yeah, Denver is he's right. Denver is a big team. That's a big front court. Aaron Gordon is 6'10". Michael Porter Jr. is what, 6'9"?
Yep.
So, and Jokic is 6'10".
All right.
Jokic is 6'10".
We'll get a phone call coming up here in a second, but listen, you can shed that fat and be slimmer for summer with NJ Diet. So worrying about going to the pool, taking the shirt off, just feeling more comfortable in shorts and clothes, NJ Diet will help you the natural way. There's no shots, no hormones, no surgery, and you're going to lose it because it's contractually guaranteed. If you follow the program, you will lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days with NJ Diet. That puts it right before your vacation, right in the middle of the summer. You can lose 40 plus pounds in 20 to 40 days. Boom, just like that. All right, and it's contractually guaranteed. You're fully supervised the entire time to make sure you're burning fat and not just losing water. You even get the doctor's personal email and phone number. And they have locations nearby: King of Prussia, Pennsylvania; Cherry Hill; Princeton; Newark, Delaware; or from anywhere with live online video consultations. Call them today: 855-5-NJ-DIET. That's 855-5-NJ-DIET, or schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. That's njdiet.com. All right, Corey, Columbus, Ohio. Corey, how are you, buddy?
Johnny Mark, I agree. What up?
Corey.
What's up, C?
How y'all doing today?
What's going on?
Doing good.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
So on this Nick Nurse hire, man, I feel like this is great. This is great for the Sixers. I feel like Nick Nurse is the best coach still out there. And I feel like he a huge upgrade over Doc, just because if you look at what Nick Nurse has accomplished, Ellie, and you guys have been talking about it over the course of the show. First of all, win the championship with Kawhi Leonard is an accomplishment of his own, because the man was able to keep Kawhi Leonard healthy for an entire season, low manage him, get him all them games. Like, Doc couldn't do that. Doc had Kawhi Leonard, and Doc had Kawhi Leonard after he won a championship. People were saying he was the best player in the league. So that's already an upgrade over Doc. He won with the dude, you know, Pascal Siakam, all that stuff, you know, OG Wanobi, the Star Wars cat, all that. So I feel like that's an upgrade right there. Also, with Nick Nurse, I feel like with his culture that he set in Toronto, John alluded to it earlier in the show, how he said, you know, the whole Dwayne Casey thing, they couldn't win with DeMar DeRozan. But if you remember, the pressure was on Toronto because Kawhi Leonard, before he even got traded there, said he was going to L.A., whether it be Lakers or Clippers. So he knew he had Kawhi Leonard for 1 year. So he maximized in that 1 year. So I feel like you got to give him credit for that, and that on his own. And
well,
lastly,
I mean, Corey, you give him credit for it, but you have to still also ask, does that mean anything here? Riley, it might. It might. But unless you upgrade the talent on the team, I'm not sure how much, you know, what Nick Nurse is doing.
And Masai.
But nobody in Toronto was as – Joel Embiid better than Kawhi Leonard? Even Kawhi Leonard's best season, Joel Embiid better than that. So I feel like it's a buy-in thing. Like, you got to change the culture. Also, with the Mike D'Antoni thing, just real quick, I was going to mention that. I wouldn't rule out Mike D'Antoni being on the coaching staff, because he went to the coaching staff with Steve Nash in Brooklyn. And remember, Nick Nurse was the D-League coach at Houston when D'Antoni was there, down there. So I still wouldn't rule out helping them keep Harden. I honestly just feel like the Sixers, and I know you guys are going to be like, oh, you know, this is cliche. The Sixers, like, they're on the break of breaking through. It's just that they got to find the right pieces to put around Harden and Embiid. I would keep Harden. And it's easier to say that, you know, now because they lost, obviously. Like, oh, you know, we've been saying this every year. But it's like every single year they done been to all these game sevens and lose. Eventually you're going to break through. Like, you just got to put the right pieces around Embiid and get the right coach in there. I feel like Nick Nurse is that guy.
Yeah,
right,
I mean, I agree with a lot of what you said. We'll see if Nick Nurse can be that missing piece, right? I mean, part of when you get a new coach in here, along with that new culture, he usually is bringing players with him to help establish a new culture, right? Like, that's what you're trying to do. So can he get guys in here that can buy in? I mean, listen, Masai Ujiri is the one who put that roster together in Toronto with Mark Gasol and Serge Ibaka and Van Fleet and Kyle Lowry and all these guys. Like, that was Masai Ujiri's roster that he gave him, along with some of those other young pieces, Pascal Siakam. I say that to say, do we have a GM that's going to give Nick Nurse the type of pieces that he needs to coach? That's why I say that.
Got to upgrade the talent, bottom line.
That's what the GM has to do.
Yep.
Because that's the real issue with the Sixers. Obviously, the stars need to be better, but a lot of your complimentary pieces weren't all that really complimentary.
I was looking at Van Fleet's contract. I think he has a player option for this upcoming year.
Okay.
So they don't have enough money to outright sign him, right? So they
Sixers.
Yeah, the Sixers don't. Because you're right. Morey brought in his guys from Houston, right? Like Andy when he went to Kansas City, he brought in people from Philly. I mean, it happens. Chip brought guys from Oregon. So like who Nick Nurse is going to bring people from Toronto. It's a matter of who.
Thaddeus Young is a free agent.
Come on. Come run this system.
Let's do it right now.
Big Thad. I was always a big Thad
Show
fan.
Your love.
He was always an underrated player. I never liked how people didn't give him.
I agree. If you had to guess how old Thad Young was, what would you guess?
33.
40.
Dude, he's 34.
Yep.
He's still got some good basketball left. He's the same age as James Harden. 4 years younger than P.J. Tucker.
But that's the type of player that you bring in, a veteran.
All right.
Well, we can't use him until the playoffs. He'll be no good in the regular season.
So
these are all guys we can't use for the regular season.
Estimated career earnings for Thaddeus Young. What do you think he's made?
Ooh.
He's been in the league since 2007.
$60 million?
Yeah, probably more than that.
Yep.
60? Yeah, probably more.
Way more than that. $138 million.
Oh, yeah.
Thaddeus Young. And he hasn't had the big monster. Like he's been good money for a long time because he's always been, you know, he's a good
$138 million. Yeah, I think, man, he's pretty good. He's fine.
The one player that could make sense, now he's a player option as well, is Gary Trent Jr., who's a great 3-point shooter.
Another Raptor.
Like if we're looking at players that he's coached for.
Yeah. And that's what you gotta kinda look at. Those are the type of signings. Especially since we're going to lose a lot of these sort of complimentary pieces, right?
They're very interchangeable.
Yeah, we got guys that are free agents that we may just go in and let walk just to bring in other guys.
Bang, bang, yang, bringing him back?
No, he's gone. Bang, bang. Bang, bang's gone. Bang, bang. And Nick Nurse wants athletic guys.
Right.
Long, lanky, athletic guys.
Yeah,
they basically just said, hey, here's four power forwards. Can you get
Scotty Barnes.
Yeah.
We need all those guys, man.
All right, coming up.
OG Anunoby, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Him too.
Yeah.
I'll take a lot of those guys. Twitter questions this hour brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. For the best selection of diamond engagement rings, no Philly sales tax, safe, secure parking is Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville online. Marks-Jewelers.com. We have a top 5 of 5 with Jack. What does he have in store for us after a long Memorial Day weekend? Can't wait. That's coming up next. Phil's and Mets tonight. We'll get you set for that as well. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. Hey, listen, the year is almost half over. That's right. We're almost in June. And if you're still dealing with the bad knee, hip pain, enough is enough. Stop the ibuprofen. Stop the cortisone shots. Surgery is not the answer. You need to call QC Kinetics today because, listen, life without chronic joint pain, it can happen, right? They have medical solutions for you at QC Kinetics. Maybe it's summer activities you're not able to do right now. Maybe you're just living in constant pain. Regardless, QC Kinetics is the nation's leader in taking healing properties from your own body and applying them right into your achy joint. So the joint tissue can be repaired and restored naturally. This treatment is truly revolutionary, and it's right here in Philly. And patients have been doing this all across America. They're having life-changing results. There's no drug. There's no surgeries. There's no downtime. So if you have pain in your knees, your back, shoulders, hips, stop doing what you're doing right now and call QC Kinetics for a free consultation. 215-999-3000. 215-999-3000. QC Kinetics. Call now. 215-999-3000.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.